absolutely anyone who thinks it might be worth it should do an apprenticeship, because
in project management
because it's the best way to really understand it and be able to study it theoretically and see it in practice as well. I think that's the most valuable part of it.
Yeah, so this is just the kind of like center yourself, induct yourself into the room. So this is all new. It's part of the project. Yeah, you used to.
Welcome to episode 3 of our series on the National Trust, an APM corporate partner. I'm Emma DeVete and I'm your host today. I'm back at Deerham Park, a 17th century mansion house and garden near Bath, which recently underwent a multi-million pound transformation. If you listen to episode 1 in the series, you will remember that I spoke to Mike Hudson, Head of Strategic Planning, Project and Programme Management, who gave me an overview of how important project management and the National Trust partnership with APM is to the success of the organisation. I also spoke to Tim Camborne, a senior project manager who oversaw the transformation programme for Deerham Park, which finished in 2023. In episode 2, I covered a less well-known part of the National Trust's work in urban areas and its focus on becoming carbon net zero by 2030, interviewing two chartered project professionals, Joe Dimitri and Dean Nunn, to find out about their work. I also travelled to Dagenham in East London to meet Emma King, who's helping to run a community garden the National Trust has set up there. So, we've heard from those at the top of the organisational project management tree, but let's hear from those who are just starting out in their careers. It's time to meet three project management apprentices who all started at the National Trust in October 2022 and are nearing the end of their 18-month apprenticeship programme after sitting APM's project management qualification. I'm going to find out from them what it's like to be a National Trust project management apprentice in an organisation that puts it at the heart of what it does. What have they learned so far? What projects have they worked on? And where might their future career take them? First up is Rebecca Corcoran, who works in the National Trust Southwest region and is based at Deerham Park and Prior Park in Bath. She studied ancient history and art history at university and always wanted a job in the arts heritage. Her work at Deerham Park was concentrated on its gardens, in particular the recreation of a formal parterre. I met her on the terrace to find out more. So I'm here at Deerham Park with Rebecca Corcoran, a project management apprentice at the National Trust. He was closely involved with the project in the, is it formal gardens?
Yeah, so it's the formal gardens section of the house, as opposed to the parkland.
We're just outside this gorgeous honey-coloured mansion that was designed in the Baroque style, I think, in the late 17th century. We're just walking past the orangery. Which part of the house is this that we're walking through?
So this is the, we're walking into the formal garden here.
Oh, okay.
These, I'm not sure, the house was built in bits and pieces. I think this might be a newer section of the house with the stables.
So this is a courtyard.
Right. Yeah, I think this, we call this area the stables.
Yeah.
And you'll see there's some the evidence of, you know, when there were horses at the property here on the right. So yeah, now we come into the formal garden.
Okay, we're coming out onto a terrace, which is how you imagine a formal garden to look. Beautifully kept lawn. Is this the parterre?
No, so we're going to go on to it now. So okay. A parterre is a formal garden with enclosed beds and gravel. They were quite popular in the 17th century, so that's what the project is trying to do, is trying to recreate an element of the garden. So it's not very literal, but it's kind of a 17th century inspired parterre.
Is there any evidence of what the original parterre would have looked like?
Yeah, so there's a 1712 Kip engraving, which is one of our primary sources for the house. And it wouldn't have been on the area as we see it now. On the drawing, it's just depicted as two simple squares of grass. And that's what the National Trust did when we acquired the property in the 1950s. We just restored the patches of grass as depicted on the Kip engraving. But a different section of the engraving does depict this kind of parterre de broderie style to the east garden, which is on, at the bottom of that hill as we came in. So the inspiration has come from that and the gardens team designed a style based off of that.
You want to describe what we're actually looking at?
Yeah, so yeah, in front of us now we have acanthus leaf shaped, formed from steel, very low to the ground, about 150 millimetres off the ground. And surrounding the perimeter we have, not yet, but we're going to establish kind of low-rise hedging around the edges.
Is this what we can see here?
Yeah, exactly.
The young plants, yeah.
Yeah, and these will be topiary cones. So once these have become established, the gardens team will be able to trim them into kind of a pyramid shape or a cone shape.
Is that what they would have had at the time?
Yeah, I think it was a really popular type of garden design, and it was something that should have been viewed from above as well.
Oh, so the gardens were designed to be looked at from the house. So the,
yeah,
the
actual, exactly.
What we're looking at, which side of the house is this?
So this is the west terrace. Mm-hmm. So we're at the west front of the house. And if you see the first floor here, actually gives you a really nice view down, and this is all open to the visitors, and it kind of, you see it a lot better from above really.
Yeah.
But inside this embroidered pattern, it's based, the motif is an acanthus leaf, which is a really popular design that's found on a lot of the embroidery and the textiles around Durham. Mm-hmm. So that was what gave the garden team the inspiration for the design, and then we worked with a landscape architect to actually put that to paper, and a metal fabricator was designed the whole steel structure, which came in and was all bolted together, very nerve-wrackingly lifted from a crane to here, over the historic balustrade.
Was that one of the biggest challenges of the project? It's actually getting everything into place.
Yeah, like I think so, because if you can see, so down the approach from the west gate, the steel was brought in and then lifted on. And I think even sourcing that was probably the most challenging thing, because it's not something that a metal fabricator would really be doing very often, so it's a very unique brief and a very unique requirement. But we were lucky to have someone who was, you know, really up for the challenge, and they're actually quite local, they're only down the road, so it's quite nice to have that local storytelling aspect as
well. Yeah, to involve the local. I mean, I feel very lucky to be here right now before the house is open to visitors, so you can get a sense of what it must be like to live here in the house. More from Rebecca's tour of the parterre later, but join us in the slightly scruffy behind stairs rooms at Durham Park to talk more about what it means to be a project management apprentice at the National Trust. I wanted to ask you first of all, what drew you to working at National Trust, and particularly its project management apprenticeship programme?
Yeah, so I guess before I came to the National Trust, I was working at another big heritage organisation.
Are you allowed to say the name?
Yeah, I think so. So I was working at English Heritage.
Okay.
So I guess in that sense, National Trust was always kind of on my radar, because they're kind of the two big heritage organisations in the UK. And I was joined that in a business support role. And as part of that role, I kind of got an introduction to doing some project support, and that really kind of fascinated me. It really captured my attention.
What did you enjoy about it?
I think I just liked seeing the progress and seeing kind of disparate colleagues from across the country all come together through the powers of Zoom and things like that, and to be able to work on something, and for them to be experts in their field and kind of come together and to be able to deliver something.
So that whetted your appetite for project management?
Yeah, I think so, because I don't think I really knew what project management was even before that. I think seeing the diversity of projects as well. So I was working on a big project at Stonehenge and seeing all the inner workings about that, but then also seeing kind of smaller scale projects just to replace a visitor building, and kind of, yeah, really is that behind the scene look into how these properties run, which I thought was really fascinating.
Okay, thank you. What does being an apprentice at the National Trust actually involve? If you give us an idea of the support you get and the benefits it brings to you, it'd be great.
Yeah, so I think one of the good things about being an apprentice here is I think it's slightly different for everyone, in a way, because, you know, everyone is paired up with a kind of mentor, line manager, who is an expert in their field, they're typically project managers. So I guess your experience is tailored to who you're working at with and what projects you're working on. But for me, it's looked like kind of having the opportunity to support different projects across the Southwest, not getting involved, but also just shadowing and getting to see what's going on.
So actually your role as an apprentice is you're actually doing proper real work on projects, but you're also shadowing.
Yeah.
And then are there other elements of learning and support that are open to you?
Yeah, exactly. So I do about 4 days a week, either actually working on project activities, or I'm shadowing kind of CPD, doing extra learning in kind of the heritage field. But then I always block out 1 day a week for our kind of formal learning, and that is with a kind of formal training college who provide us with that that learning. So we have a monthly workshop, which, you know, on a topic around project management, but then we also have coursework, and then we're preparing for the PMQ exam as well. So yeah, it's nice to have that balance of work, business as usual work, working on projects, but also having that time kind of carved out in your diary for that learning. And I think that's really complemented.
So you have support from a mentor, and also are you, do you get together with the other project management apprentices?
Yeah, and that's something I wasn't really expecting, but has been a really nice thing as part of it, is just having that kind of community. I think there's 10 or 11 of us that started in my cohort, and they've been an invaluable source of support. Some people were already working in the trust before moving to the apprenticeship role, so it's nice to have people who are kind of on the journey with you, and they're who we did all the workshops with, we did all our learning together, and a lot of us sat our PMQ exam around the same time. So it's been really nice, and I feel like we're all, you know, interested in staying on in project management. So it's kind of like we're the next generation or something, which is nice to kind of build that network and community.
But I want to ask you about the other projects you're working on at the moment or have worked on in the past 18 months. So you have Dearham Park.
Yeah, I have Dearham Park. And then I also have Prior Park in Bath, which I've done some work on.
So what's Prior Park?
So that is a Palladian garden that has recently undergone restoring the dams there. So I kind of came in at the tail end of that when they were, you know, the dams had been restored and they were finishing up with the reinstatement planting and some last minute things. I think one of my early jobs was the lake had kind of become overgrown with bulrush, this type of reed. And a big thing about Prior Park is the fact that the Palladian Bridge is being able to be reflected in the lake. But that had been lost because of this project work, and the lakes had been drained. It created the perfect conditions for these, you know, reeds to grow and kind of overtake the lake completely.
They're those huge things, aren't
they? They're absolutely huge, yeah. So the project were kind of left with an issue of, oh, like, how do we even get rid of these? You know, it was like a massive amount of material. And we obviously wanted to do it in a sustainable way as well. We didn't just want to chuck them in general waste.
Are there any other projects that you're working on at the moment?
Yeah, so I'm actually taking the lead on a project down in Dorset, which is Hive Beach, located next to a small town called Burton Bradstock. And that's been a really great opportunity to kind of have that experience on leading a team.
How big is your team?
It's not very big.
Bigger than one?
Bigger than one.
Okay.
So there's a project board that I set up and report to them on a monthly basis. And that's been really helpful. And I think they're really encouraging and supportive as well. They know I'm an apprentice and they know I'm learning. So it's nice to have that kind of safe space to make mistakes and to maybe not say something perfectly. Yeah, so that site is looking, it hasn't had a lot of investment in a while, but it's a really amazing outdoor hub, gateway to the Jurassic Coast. So we're looking at improving the visitor infrastructure there, making it more accessible for visitors. We want to add a changing place facility. So that's kind of for people with additional needs. It's kind of one step above a disabled toilet. And it's something the trust is committed to putting into all our properties. So yeah, we're looking at putting that in there and just making several other kind of improvements that will improve the visitor experience. So that's amazing.
So this is the first time you've led on a project.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, what have been the biggest lessons you've learned about project management so far, either on the technical side of things or actually personal skills or qualities you need to be a good project manager?
Yeah, so I think what was
probably the hardest thing when I came in is I was working on these construction projects to begin with.
At the National Trust?
The National Trust. Yeah. So, you know, here at Durham and Prior Park, it was all quite infrastructure focused. And I guess that was a bit daunting for me because I have no experience. I don't think I'd ever read like a blueprint or a an architect drawing. Yeah. So I think something I've learned is you don't have to be an expert in everything. Mm. And you just kind of need to be able to bring the right people together to get what you need. So that's been the most eye-opening thing for me, is that, you know, those things come with time, and those smaller things, so don't get caught up worried about the detail, and just knowing that you're there to facilitate and to drive progress, and to make a plan, and how important relationship building is for that, and kind of winning support and getting people on your side, is something that I've really learned over the past 18 months.
Yeah, so really important lessons. What are the unique challenges or, I don't know, sources of enjoyment working for projects in the National Trust? Because it's a pretty unique place.
Yeah. Like I was saying, at Prior Park, there's always those, you know, nothing is straightforward. There's always those access challenges, or, you know, you're running a visitor business here at your... And so whenever projects are happening, you need to be so mindful of that. Not only do we want to keep these places open for people to enjoy, but we also want them to make them last forever. So sometimes, you know, it's a balance between those two things, is, you know, having these amazing spaces, but also ensuring that, you know, we're preserving them in the right way. So there's definitely a lot of unique challenges. Anytime you want to do anything to any sort of building, you know, there's a lot of bureaucracy and hoops to jump through, and so that all adds time and it adds money, but I think it makes the end result even more satisfying in a way, because you know, you get to the end of it and they're all there for good reasons, all these, you know. So
a question I wanted to ask you about Durham was that I know you, with your background in kind of history and art, you did art history, didn't you? So to have access to a place like this where there is important artworks, I know there's Delftware here, and how what's that feel like to be actually working in a place where you have access to all these beautiful things? Learning about them. Have there been any surprises or?
It definitely feels surreal to kind of be when you're walking through and you see the collection items in the room. I think I've learned a lot from the volunteers. So Durham will have kind of room guides in every room, and they are some of the like fountains of knowledge. They know so much. I've had volunteers point out little aspects of a picture, like fine details, where there's like a man, or if you look really closely, you can see a man gardening in these huge, massive pictures. And I think that's been really enjoyable, just to be able to meet and talk with people who are there every day and kind of who make Durham happen.
And I guess the artworks in situ.
Yeah, exactly. As they were like meant to be enjoyed in a way, or just kind of removed from the context of a museum. It kind of, you know, it adds to the room. It creates that atmosphere. So I think it's quite a different experience from seeing it in a museum.
Personally, which objects or artworks have impressed you the most, or that you've loved the most here?
The one that's probably the most interesting, we do have like a, I'm going to get the terminology wrong, but there's a king's stateroom bed. So basically a lot of period houses would have had a room dedicated to try and entice the king to come and visit. We have that bed that was never used. I don't think the king ever came, but it's where he would have stayed. And it's on the ground floor in the house. I find that like a really interesting part of the story, and it kind of humanizes the people who used to live here a little bit. I really love that story.
Yes, welcome to Durham Park. We'll rejoin Rebecca later on to discover more about her work on Durham Park, but next let's meet Flora Smith, another apprentice who works at the National Trust Central Office, Helis in Swindon, where she sits in its support and revenue department. It's the bit that makes income from the trust, she explains. So that means food and beverage, shops, holidays, and more importantly for her, car parks. I began by asking her what it's like to be plugged into a network of project professionals within the National Trust, with an open invitation to visit projects that pique her interest anywhere.
Sounds great.
Yeah, this is what the Trust does so well. Everybody I've spoken to in project management in the Trust is so willing to tell you about their journey, what they're doing, the challenges, the good times, the bad times, and also just take that time to be interested in your development. And I found that with every single email that I've fired off, they've always come back and they've been just some of the most lovely people that I've met, and so willing to give up some of their really busy schedule just to spend some time with me to explain different areas of the Trust and different approaches when it comes to project management as well, and how they kind of came into project management and the different ways you can come at it.
Mm.
So when I first started, I was looking at booking and events and holidays, and that was looking at the website. So it was very more IT based, which a lot of the support and revenue projects do run alongside IT.
How did you find that? Did you have any IT experience before that?
No IT experience.
So you kind of
it was jumping the deep end, and,
yeah.
But it's been really great to get that side of it, because there is just slightly different challenges versus if you're doing a construction project or a conservation of a, like, rewilding a wetland. It's completely separate and different. There's like slightly different processes when it comes to IT. So it's been really great getting that exposure, and I've been really unique in having that, because none of the other apprentices have experienced that. So it's been really good, but initially I didn't know very much about IT, and I still say I know surface level IT, but yeah, so I sit more on the business side, so I sit underneath business project managers, but it's really interesting to see how they work with IT project managers and what the relationship is there, and it's taught me a lot about sort of how to manage those kind of relationships. Because it's sort of equal power, but there's also a lot of communication and a lot of sorting out roles and responsibilities in terms of having two people on one project that are project managers.
Mm.
But it's amazing when it works really, really well, and it makes sense that there is two people, because sometimes the IT side is very complex. And it does take someone who does know a bit more of that side. And for the business, it's good because they connect back in with the people. So then you've got that sort of link between IT and people. That's hugely important for a project to be successful.
Well, can you tell us maybe about one project that you found particularly rewarding or that you learnt the most from?
Yeah, so I'm currently on the car parks technology replacement project. And
is this for car parks across the whole trust?
Across the whole trust.
So I can't imagine how many car parks there are.
It's like about 230 car parks in total, but that includes lay-bys and things like that. It might even be more. I might have got that completely wrong, but it's definitely over 200 technical car parks. And then there's only a certain amount that actually have machines and things currently at the moment.
So what's the kind of project scope and objectives?
So our scope is replace the technology. Is primarily the biggest thing that we need to do, because currently we are quite a way behind a lot of other car parks. We don't even have card readers, so you can only pay by cash. So that's a huge thing, and that the machines are failing. So that's kind of the basic scope, but it also links into the wider kind of thinking of the trust, of looking into our outdoor spaces and putting a bit more focus and a bit more attention and care. Because since COVID, there's been a huge rise of people coming to our outdoor spaces because they realise, wow, there's a National Trust space, like in the Lake District and even the Southwest Coast. There's a huge amount of missed opportunity where we can get people to engage with us that we've just not had before, because when people think of National Trust, they just think of old houses, basically. But that it's so much more. And even when I first started being an apprentice here, I didn't realise how complex and how massive it actually really is. And it is amazing. It's terrifying, but it is amazing how much the National Trust actually does cover.
Are you mentored at all? So you have a mentor. So how valuable has that been?
So valuable. Like, I have a I have a mentor, and also my line manager and the project manager I work with. I can't thank them enough. They have given me so much support over the last year and a bit with my apprenticeship. They're constantly checking in on me. We have regular meetings, and it's nice because they also tell me the problems that they're having with their projects and things like that, and they ask for my advice, and I feel comfortable, because initially going into it, when you're with people who've been doing it for so long, it's really nice that they also respect your opinion too.
Yeah.
And they're also seeking for you to find it for yourself, and I've always had that encouragement from them. And I'm dyslexic, so I have a lot of sort of difficulty when it comes to trying to type up things, and I might take a bit longer, and they've always given me so much grace with it, and they've been there to support me with that, and I kept continually asked, what can I do to help you with that? Or if I have struggled, I've never felt like I couldn't reach out and say, please, can I have help with this? And yeah, they're constantly giving me challenges, but knowing when the challenge is too much. They're pushing me in the right direction, basically, but not pushing me off the edge of the cliff. I can't thank them enough for their support. They've encouraged me and allowed me to kind of come and even do podcasts here, and also go and visit the other apprentices. They've said, straight away, like, that's a really good idea. I'm glad you're taking that initiative. You go with it. And if it's been my idea, they've been more than happy enough to support me.
And so when you've got that level of support from lots of different people, does that go hand in hand with real responsibility working on projects? You're actually given real work to do and trusted to do it. But a kind of, I guess, in a safe environment.
Yeah, so I will still go and ask for them to check some things, and even though they know that they can trust me and they've said this to me, I still have that little like, oh, could you just check? And they're more than willing to say, yeah, that looks perfectly fine, carry on. I was really lucky, sort of my project manager and my line manager has given me work that's specifically mine, and I've owned and I've produced and I've gone out and done sort of the stakeholder comms and sort of organized my own like little mini project within it. So with the car parks one, I went out and found car park solutions, so where people have tried to overcome challenges in their car park, whether that's sort of having a park run and they've got to readjust how the car park actually works, and maybe change how they sort of run their car park to allow park runners to come and just park for that little bit and then go. To vandalism, so someone set up CCTV Wi-Fi cameras in a particular car park, and just my aim for that was to just bring a load of case studies together and contacts for other car parks to then see and go, oh, I've got a similar problem and their car park sounds pretty similar to mine. Maybe I can use that and maybe that'll just alleviate some of the problems that we're facing at the moment, to sort of go alongside sort of the replacement technology project that's also happening. And they gave that to me to sort of own, produce, and then send out and distribute. And that was really good because it did teach me a lot about how to sort of engage with people at property, setting up meetings and stuff, and being sensitive sort of with information and things like that, because car parks for a lot of properties are a touchy subject.
Are there any kind of other benefits or opportunities being on an apprenticeship program like this that you've really appreciated?
I think I've liked the way that I've learned. It's not...
How do you mean?
As in, it's been sort of my time to learn and things like that. It's... I think I've managed to gain experience and also do the qualification, and I can apply them, which is nice because I can physically see it rather than sort of when you're just studying for an exam, say if you do an intensive course and you've got all the theory behind it, but you don't have the experience. And I think that's what's been great about this apprenticeship, and which is why I wanted to do it, because I looked at it and I was like, that's a way that I want to learn on the job. I can apply real situations to things that I'm learning about in the modules and other things like that. I think that's what attracted me to sort of apprenticeship rather than just doing another qualification, because sure, I could just try and study project management, but I don't think I would have ever fully understood it unless I was actually there.
Yeah, that makes sense. And has it sold you to a career in project management? Is that where your foreseeable career lies, do you think?
I definitely think so, but I also am like, I'm open to anything. I think it's given me a lot of transferable skills. I think at the root, project management just gives you that sort of place to apply yourself. So in any kind of field, there's so many skills that you pick up that you can just bring to other places and things, and especially those people skills. I think they're hugely misunderstood and they're hugely important to very loads of jobs, and especially sort of management jobs in general. But currently, I think I would like to stay in the trust, and I'd like to stay in project management.
Well, I wish you the best of luck for that. Yeah,
thank
really
you.
Keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah, this is my favourite room.
Finally, I meet Maddie Hills, who works in the National Trust Project and Programme Management Office after studying Asian Pacific and North Korean studies at university. I began by asking her why she wanted to work at the National Trust.
So my whole childhood was going to National Trust properties, which I think a lot of people are the same.
Yeah.
So I've always known about the Trust and always loved the Trust. And when I had finished uni and was looking into what career I wanted to pursue, I started looking into internships at first, and then I was looking at the Trust because when I was at university I did a lot of volunteering. So I thought perhaps in my year off I could start looking at volunteering just to get a bit of experience. So I was originally looking at the Trust to start volunteering, and then I saw that they had apprenticeship programs, and I thought that would be perfect because obviously I'd spent 5 years at uni, but I didn't have any work experience at all. So I knew that finding a job was going to be incredibly difficult. But then the apprenticeship program, it offered me such a great opportunity to actually enter the workforce and be able to learn a trade as well, which I wasn't expecting. So I looked into project management and it seemed like it fit quite well with my personality and the sort of the variation of things that you could be doing. And obviously thinking further ahead with my career, I could go into so many different things with a project management qualification.
So you spotted the kind of transferable skills or...
Yes, exactly.
..training you would get. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously having already loved the Trust for so long, and my degrees at uni were very much history and culture based, so it was something that felt like it fit very well for me. So I'm incredibly lucky that I applied and I got the position.
See, I mean, you're based in the central office in the PMO, the Project and Programme Management Office. I guess that must give you a kind of opportunity to have an overview of the entire Trust work with it, you know, project management.
Yeah,
how do you find that? Is that
It's incredible. I think... Before I started working with the Trust, I didn't understand the breadth of the work that is done. And obviously project work is such a huge way that the Trust delivers its ambitions. And being in the PPMO, that we have insight to so many different types of projects. And obviously our whole purpose is to support the project community. So we get to go and visit lots of different projects to sort of understand better what they're doing and how they work and sort of the type of support that they need from us. So we're able to, you know, get that kind of insight, and we also get to do sort of volunteering. So we sort of take the opportunity to visit different properties and actually get a bit hands-on with the type of, you know, context they're working in. We've done tree planting and fence building on a beach, and we get just such incredible opportunities. And it's really, you don't understand how complex an organisation like the Trust is from the outside. One of the projects that, or sort of the main project that I work on is the planning and project platform modernisation project.
That's a mouthful. So what does that mean?
So basically it's looking at the implementation of a digital solution to help project managers do what they do. So it's a PPM tool,
okay,
really, but we're really focused on how that's going to be embedded and what the project community need from it, because we don't want to implement something that isn't going to suit the way that they work. So that's a hugely IT based, but it's also got that sort of business management side of it, and everything that we do is about the communities that we're doing it for, which is the staff at the National Trust.
What's it like coming in as an apprentice?
When I first started, I was doing a lot of sort of supporting the other team members and what they were doing, and a lot of observation, but I quite quickly sort of took on my own work, which
was... So is that encouraged?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was really encouraged. And my team are so supportive, and they've always been really eager to help me learn and to sort of push me gently to take things on myself. But the sort of breadth of the things that I've been able to experience, like it's only been just over a year, and I'm in such a different place now. Like, I've got so many more skills and experience in different areas.
Do you think that's one of the advantages of working in the PPMO?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we've looked at, because obviously we own a lot of the tools that our project managers use, and that covers, you know, more sort of scheduling and sort of day-to-day running, but also like finance management. So it's stuff that I never would have even thought that I need experience in, but it's been so useful in sort of my overall understanding of what project management is and everything that it entails.
Is it what you imagined it to be?
No.
What did you imagine project management to
be? I don't think I really had an idea to begin with. Yeah, because I'd never really even heard of project management as a career. And obviously thinking that I was coming into the Trust, then I sort of had this picture in my head of what I thought the Trust was originally.
What was that picture?
Which was historic houses.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, the projects must be all to do with these historic places. And then obviously understanding more about the expanse of what work that involves, I don't think I ever could have understood.
I don't think many people really appreciate, unless you work for the National Trust, just how much goes on behind the scenes.
Yes, yeah, it's such an extensive place, and it's incredible really to think that everything that they do on the surface, that's got so much that has to support it. And I don't think anyone would realise how big of an organisation it is, but it needs to be to deliver what we're trying to deliver. So it's so interesting.
Because you're on an apprenticeship programme, there's obviously a structure.
Yes.
And a framework, and which APM, you know, has laid out. How beneficial has that been for you to have that structure in place? What advantages has it brought you? And are you sold on the idea of being a project manager in the future?
Yes, I am sold. The structure's been incredibly useful, because like you said, I had no experience of project management at all. So having it broken down so that I could really understand it sort of step by step and in a logical process. I think coming into project management, if I was sort of presented with everything at once, it would have been way too overwhelming. But being able to go into it in a really clear sort of methodical way and sort of build up that understanding through the stages and understand it that way has been so much better and easier for me to actually be able to comprehend what project management is.
And does it give you a clear definition, a definition of a career path that you can envisage?
Yeah.
What are your ambitions for your future career?
That's a good question. I think first and foremost, staying with the Trust is probably my priority because I just love the National Trust so much. But project management, definitely as well. I would love to be able to continue project management here because there's just so many opportunities. And if I could be doing one project on a coastline and then move to doing something more in a historic house, or the opportunities are really sort of endless.
What's it meant to you to get your project management qualification?
It's been huge. It was such a milestone of thinking, oh wow, I actually do, I do know project management and I can do this. And
you know what you're doing.
To go from not knowing anything to now having a qualification, I mean, it's going to be a huge just step in my career that I can have that on my CV and say, look, I do know things. I have done this for a year now.
Can you imagine one day going for chartered?
I think that'd be a way off, yeah, but that would be an incredible step. And several members of my team are chartered. So to see them sort of go through that process has been great, and sort of understand what steps are open in the future. And it's great to see that it's not just sort of one qualification and that's it. There are so many steps that you can take to like improve and grow yourself as a project manager. So it's great to see that.
What do you enjoy most about your apprenticeship or the work that you've done so far?
I think learning, which I don't know if that's a good answer or not, but
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I love learning. I mean, I did 5 years of university because I love learning, but that's been such something that I really enjoy, and especially being in the PPMO, every piece of work that I do, I'm learning something new about either the Trust or project management. Especially within the Trust itself, learning is really valued. And being an apprentice, it means that I'm always comfortable asking questions, or like I don't feel like I'm the only one who doesn't know this, because it doesn't matter, because it's so emphasised in the Trust that everyone has something that they could learn.
So this is the harpsichord, and sometimes there's a volunteer playing it.
Thanks to Maddie and her parting words about always having something to learn, because her attitude reflects a voracious appetite for knowledge all three apprentices showed, and whose enthusiasm for their careers in project management really shined through. Now let's go back to where we began this podcast with Rebecca Corcoran standing on the terrace at Deerham Park as she gives her take on what it means to be an apprentice.
What was your actual involvement with the project? So what were your particular responsibilities?
So I came in at an early stage when we were just starting to talk with a landscape architect about translating this design idea that we had into reality. So I played a big role in liaising with them and kind of getting the designs right and the requirements from the house as well. We're also going to add in a ramp on the either side so that accessible visitors who come out will be able to come out and experience the parterre for themselves, to be able to walk around it. So feeding into those kind of requirements and developing that brief was a big part of my role.
So actually, as an apprentice, you're given proper responsible duties here.
Yeah. And I think that's something I've really enjoyed, is that, you know, I've been able to have a tangible impact. That I know that obviously the gardens team have done so much with sourcing the plants and doing the actual work, but I feel it's nice to feel connected and to have known that some way I've played a part in it.
Yeah, so every time you come back here you can say part of that was my work.
Yeah, because I remember even when we got the quote, or I was going out to people looking for the quotes to actually do the steel, and the kind of relief when we finally found someone who was able to do it, and that, you know, it was logistically going to work out. So yeah, it feels really nice to have been part of that.
What did you learn firsthand about project management from working on this project?
So I guess a big thing that I learned was that things take time. As you'll see, it's not totally finished here. We still have a bit to go. And there has been a few delays, things that were a bit out of our control. And so I think with project management, sometimes there can be that desire to kind of proceed at pace and do things quite quickly. But in reality, you know, good things take time. And I don't think, you know, I think the result will be better at the end because we've taken that time and really had those discussions with the house and with the architect and letting the metal fabricator have some more time to you know, actually produce it has been really beneficial. And I think, yeah, just building that flexibility into your projects has been a huge lesson for me. And yeah, it just will mean when it's finished, it will be even greater and get an even greater result.
No, it's wonderful. What a wonderful project to work on. It's, we're just on the guest balustrade overlooking the formal gardens. Are these very much a work in progress still, or is this complete?
So this, yeah, this area is as is. The Sphinx Court, I think there has been talks about adding a plinth or doing some sort of feature in the middle. But if you go beyond the hedging there, that was all recently re-established as part of the transformation project. So I think the design idea for the garden scene was to create a 21st century garden with flavours of 17th century. To kind of re-establish that the historic avenues to do as those people are doing right now, like to go for a walk and kind of immerse yourself in that nature. And it's something that changes quite seasonally as well. We get a lot of tulips here that the team plant. I think around now they're planting tulips for next spring, and the garden kind of transforms at different times of the year.
Do you come back regularly to work on projects here? Is your work done here?
Yeah, I come here for some meetings and to be on site, and honestly it does seem a bit different every time I come. As the seasons change, really. Yeah, it's quite stunning, really.
From reconstructing palladium gardens and ornate parterres to improving car parks and introducing new project management systems, the apprentices at the National Trust I met at Deerham Park impressed me with their enthusiasm, sense of purpose and appetite for their work. This episode I've learnt how Maddie, Rebecca and Flora are part of a cohort of early career apprentices who are important people within the project management team at the charity. They're being set up for a successful career in something they've loved to learn about, and I wish them all the best of luck in wherever their journeys take them next. This episode completes our three-part series that has taken us behind the scenes at APM corporate partner, the National Trust, to understand how the project management puzzle fits together at the charity, and how it's been supported by APM to create a professionalised team of people whose work is at the heart of how the charity runs itself. I've loved being given a backstage pass at Historic House Deerham Park and meeting a bunch of people who are buzzing with enthusiasm for their work. Thanks again to Rebecca, Flora and Maddie and everyone else I've spoken to over the three episodes, and to you for listening. As ever, we want to hear your comments, feedback and suggestions at apmpodcast@thinkpublishing.co.uk.